WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org online. The previous program was The Gary Noel Show, heard Monday through Friday at noon. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind. Coming up, it is now 1 p.m. Stay tuned.
Hello, everybody. Ben Starr, Kevin O'Donohue, Nasima Diane Deemer here with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Thanks to everyone who tuned in yesterday and called and participated in what was a pretty exciting show.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of participation, a lot of
groundbreaking
feedback.
Show yesterday and today.
And thanks for those of you who emailed us. You can always email us at positivemind@wbai.org with your feedback, questions, comments, and we appreciate that as well. Just to recap, we spoke yesterday about the five main concepts, main principles of positive psychology, which is really the foundation of this whole show, this program, since its inception, has been centered around positive psychology, hence the positive mind.
Yep.
And we wanted to delve a little bit deeper in that with you today, to really explore what it is we're talking about when we say positive psychology. It's not an abstractionism. There's actually, as you're going to find, a lot of concrete examples of what positive psychology is. Right, Kevin?
Yes, indeed, Ben Starr. Yes, indeed. And we have to credit WBAI for being the pioneer in positive psychology ideas, because they had the wisdom to hire Armand DeMille in 1985 and have him develop these ideas himself that have now become so mainstream and so popular in the field. You know, Ben, the most crowded, what is it, the most popular course at Yale University this semester.
Mm-hmm. What is it?
It's called Psychology and the Good Life.
I would sign up for
that class. 1,200 students. 1,200 students are enrolled in one course at Yale University this semester, and we're going to try and get Lori Santos on our show. As I told you yesterday, we're having Harville Hendricks come on, and we're having Paige Bellenbaum come on, and now we're going to get Lori Santos, who's teaching this course.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
That BAI laid the groundwork for in 1985. But we wanted to sort of give the audience an education yesterday and today on what are these principles. You know, Armand gave us a lot of wisdom, a lot of compassion, a lot of understanding, tremendously gifted man, and who could hope to match him in his happiness factor? But the truth is he wanted all of us to learn tools to become happier and live a positively minded life. But do we know the elements? Well, now we do. In 1998, the International Positive Psychology Association was created. So way ahead of the curve, Armand was out there. But it was created in 1998, an actual codification of positive psychology principles. And that's what we're bringing to you today and yesterday. And we will be taking your calls. We want your calls.
But for now, we also want your participation. And we've done this before in the past, and we're going to do it again today. If you're at home, we'd like you to go get a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil, a marker, crayon, whatever you'd like to write with. Get the inkwell, you know.
Make it fun.
It's not going to be a lot of writing.
Get something to write with. It's a very, very small amount of writing, but just enough so that you can stay with us the whole way. So we'll give you a moment here. We'll give you 10 seconds, 15, 20 seconds to just go over and grab that piece of paper. Take your time. All right, you getting that pen and paper? I suppose you could also use a smartphone if you had to.
Yeah.
But hopefully by now you've gotten something to write with, pen and paper, and we're going to continue. We want you to be participating today, which will make your phone calls even more thrilling than yesterday. So
here we go. Yeah, we're going to give a crash course in positive psychology, and here it is. Write the letters P-E-R-M-A, PERMA. That's all you need to know. If you can remember those five letters and what's going to go along with them, you can start to live a more positively minded life. Because we said yesterday, you know, positive psychology is not simply about, you know, working through your issues and your thoughts and your feelings and the sad parts and the difficult parts of life and the conflicts that you're running through. And often that's what, you know, people associate therapy to be with. But no, that is one aspect and one part of the process. Another part is to create positives in your life.
Yeah.
You know, and yesterday I said, you know, we don't treat clinically depressed people when they're lying in bed. You know, you have to get out of bed.
Yeah.
You have to get your feet on the floor. So whatever symptoms you might have, you need to get moving, too, mm-hmm. in order to get treatment. So in order to get well, you need to process the negative stuff, but you need to also input the positive stuff. And that is the essential difference between positive psychology and all the other psychologies out there. You know, Freud started most of modern-day psychology, and he wanted to deal with the deep, dark unconscious and all the dark thoughts. And that proliferated through the 50s, you know. Mm. And then in the 60s, then we had humanistic psychology. And then it started turning to, yes, we need to have, you know, positive experiences. And so we've gotten to this place now that we're witnessing the wisdom of not simply just dealing with the negative, but inputting the positive. So the positives are positives, P-E-R-M-A. The first P is for positive emotions. What are positive emotions? What are they?
Pleasure, satisfaction, confidence,
how
self-esteem.
About you? When you're feeling something positive, what's the feeling?
Generally, like in my body, I feel sort of a lightness in my body.
Okay.
I feel some excitement and energy.
Okay.
I feel more open.
Mm-hmm.
The smile comes easily.
Okay.
Calm
can be one. Ben,
calm.
What about you? Do you have any?
For me, it's mainly joy. You know,
yeah.
When I'm at my best, I'm feeling this inner joy.
Yeah.
That almost makes me want to laugh.
Really?
You know, laugh out loud. That's
right.
To me. That's my most positive emotion.
Right. You're bubbling over.
Yeah.
And you, Kev?
For me, peace, you know. Mm. Peace is a positive emotion. I mean, it's a positive state of mind, but it's peace, calm, you know, not anxious. I mean, of course, love is a wonderful feeling, too. But we want to encourage, so these are things that you want to input into your life.
Yeah.
You want to get these kinds of emotions. If you're not having any of these emotions ever, then it's, you know, you can't be living a positively minded life.
Yeah.
So that's the first one.
Positive
emotion. The second one is engagement.
Yeah, this is wonderful.
We talked about this yesterday, and a greater part of today's show is going to be about this factor, engagement.
Mm.
Is there an activity where you lose yourself, that you lose yourself in, that you get out of your head and, you know, get out of your heart even, and are just totally one with the activity?
Right. Could be writing down these words right now.
Listening to the positive mind.
Being engaged.
Listening
with
to
us
the
right
radio
now.
Often does that for people where they totally get transferred to a totally other place.
Yeah, listening to music.
Another realm.
For
anything
people,
for you, Ben?
Nature, you know, going on a hike.
On a hike.
Going fishing.
Yep.
Going swimming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Swimming out, you know, out in nature.
Yeah.
I'm not a pool person. I never liked swimming pools.
Really?
I don't like the chlorine.
Yeah.
Right?
Something artificial.
I like swimming in the ocean, swimming in lakes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So a place you can lose yourself, a place where you can totally surrender and be submerged.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, it's playing music, you know, actually playing an instrument, you know, being one with it. We, you know, we call this the flow state. But in positive psychology, we call it positive engagement. So positive emotions and engagement.
Right. This can also be, you know, yoga. This can be going to a group, belonging to a union, being part of something larger than you.
Belonging.
Yeah, a sense of belonging.
Yeah.
cultural belonging, mm-hmm. all those things are being part of a engagement.
Club.
Yeah, clubs.
A group of friends.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, you're talking about social connection, and that's another aspect of positive psychology we'll get to probably another day.
Mm-hmm.
But there are four areas of fitness where you can check your life. Am I fit? Mm-hmm. Am I socially fit? Because, mm-hmm. you know, as we talked yesterday about evolution, that, you know, evolutionarily we are vigilant creatures. We're looking over our shoulder. We're worried about danger. So that's our heritage.
Yeah.
In terms of inputting positives in your life, positive psychology says that we're social creatures. So without social connections, we're not going to be feeling fully positive. So positive emotions, positive engagement.
Yeah, I'm following along myself. And for everyone following along at home, you are tuned into The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI. At the beginning of the show, we asked you to get a pen and paper, write down five letters, P-E-R-M-A. And so far, we've gotten to the first two, the P and the E. The P standing for positive emotions, and the E standing for engagement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we want people to write these down, Ben, because afterwards you can ask yourself, if you're having a particularly bad day or a bad week or a bad month, you can ask, did I have positive emotions today?
Yeah.
Did I have any sense of engagement today?
Right.
And the third one is positive relationships.
So the R is relationships.
R is relationships. And generally, you know, people who are often suffering and struggling emotionally and psychologically, they don't have this one, positive relationships. They're often suffering alone.
Loneliness.
All of addiction is about suffering alone, really. That there's no real connection to yourself on a deep level, and there's no real connection to others on a deep level.
Right. Or it could be that you're involved in relationships with people that are bringing you down all the time. That they can't give you any kind of positive feedback about you or about the relationship, and that can be a real drain. That can be really, really hard. And it's important to look around. You know, if you're feeling down on yourself, look around at the people you're surrounding yourself with. It's a huge
and are they noticing part of the movement. You? That's a good thing. Yesterday we mentioned like a sign of a good relationship is where you're getting positive inputs, like 5-to-1 ratio, that the people you're with are more inclined to say nice things about you than negative things about you. I mean, we've all been around places where, you know, you rank on each other and you put each other down and do bring everybody love. You know, you do that, but you do it. Obviously, you know the love is behind that.
Yes.
Right?
Because there's a
there's
smile
no question about the love that's there.
Yeah.
But in general, one way to measure this is, am I getting more positives from this person than negatives? If not, it's, you know, it's going to be very difficult to live a positively minded life. So P-E-R. M is a tough one. You know, most people, again, struggle with this one, meaning. You know, we need to have a good conversation about meaning.
Yeah.
I think it's time. You know, our culture, our world, everybody, we need to have a conversation about meaning and the lack of meaning and the feeling of absurdity and senselessness. Positive psychology says that you need, human beings need to feel a sense of meaning.
Yeah.
And that doesn't have to be like I'm changing the world, you know. It, your meaning can be, what am I willing to struggle for?
Right. What am I willing to die for, even?
Well, that's
that's a little more meaning, but
that's a great question.
Any change or any shift or anything that you do in your life that means something often means that something else has to be sacrificed.
Yeah, indeed.
And so, It's a hard one. That's a tricky one.
Yeah, and for
people often don't even go there and think about meaning.
A lot of people, I'm struggling to raise my family. There's your meaning.
Yeah.
Your meaning is I'm building a family. I'm creating a family. I'm developing a family. I want my children to thrive. Yeah. There's your meaning. You know, so you can try and look for grand concepts of meaning, but it's really, what am I struggling out? What am I willing to struggle for?
Yeah.
And often it can be, you know, what are my values?
Mm.
So meaning can often be hooked up with values. So P-E-R-M. And then the last one is A, is accomplishment. And again, we want to caution you against grand goals, grand accomplishments. You know, a lot of psychology can be boil down to a simple question. What are your expectations for yourself, and how are you not meeting them? You know, a lot of people come to therapy and because mm-hmm. they have expectations that they inherited. Yeah. They weren't mine in the first place. So we spend a lot of time deciphering which ones are yours and which ones came from your upbringing, you know. And so a lot of human misery is around this idea of somebody else's expectations for me. I don't know how I got these expectations, but I seem to be living them out.
Oh, and they can be so high.
And so I can never have a sense of accomplishment.
Right, right. I'll never meet that. I'll never rise to what my father or my mother thought I should be. Wow. It's really, really hard.
Yeah. So accomplishments. Accomplishment is, you know, do you do a good job? Can you walk away from your job or from an activity, a hobby, anything that you do, that you drive? I know some people who can drive for like 16 hours straight. I mean, that's an accomplishment.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Especially if it's, get somewhere.
But there are things that we can
have an experience.
Pat ourselves on the back and say, hey, yes, I accomplished that. So we itemize these things for you. We're going to ask you to call us at 212-757-5555. We're going to ask you, which one of these are you struggling with the most?
Yeah.
You can make a question out of each of these positive emotions. Am I having any? Engaged? Is there any activity in my life where I totally lose myself?
Mm-hmm.
Am I having positive relationships? Am I getting complimented? Am I getting noticed by somebody? If I'm not, how positive can it be? Meaning, am I struggling for something? Mm-hmm. What am I working at every day? An accomplishment, we all accomplish.
So let's recap what's on our piece of paper here.
Yes, go ahead.
Starting with positive emotions at the top, then engagement, followed by relationships, followed by meaning, followed by accomplishments. These are the pillars of what we like to call positive psychology.
We just saved people $6,000. What is a course what is a course at Yale cost?
Right?
Right? It costs what? $30,000, $40,000 a semester, and you take five courses, so figure it out. $10,000.
Mm.
Here it is. We're boiling it down for you. Our predecessor boiled it down for you. Here it is. These are the five pillars of positive psychology.
You know, I wanted to chime in a little bit about accomplishment because it's something that can be so sticky sometimes. I feel really accomplished because I've started working out, and that every time I make it to the gym, it's like, I did it. It was hard to get there. I'm sore. It's not always easy. But, anytime you make that step to do something different in your life and you actually do it, celebrate that and share it and say, yes, I did that. It's a really important part of embodying this positivity. Just that you walk through those doors at the gym is an important thing. Or you go for a walk outside.
And I think a lot of New Yorkers can really sense that, yes, I made it there. I did that today,
That's an accomplishment, just that one thing. If it's once a week or once a month, celebrate it.
Yeah. I want to read to you something by Marty Seligman in the book Flourish. For sound evolutionary reasons, most of us are not nearly as good at dwelling on good events as we are at analyzing bad events. Those of our ancestors who spent a lot of time basking in the sunshine of good events when they should have been out preparing for disaster did not survive the Ice Age. So to overcome our brain's natural catastrophic bent, we need to work on and practice the skill of thinking about what went well.
Great.
What went well? We want to give you questions to ask yourself when you're struggling. How can I pull myself out of this? And what went well can do that. What went well for you yesterday?
That I went to go for a run.
You went to the gym.
I went to the
gym. Pick another one.
Like, I never, this is so new for me.
All right, pick another one.
To do this. Because, well, I did it 2 days in a row. I mean, that's incredible that I went. Because usually I'd be like, oh, I should only go every other day. But I was like, I'm going to do it. So that went really well. And I felt really good for the rest of the day because I did. Hmm. So, yeah, that went well. And I got my hair cut. And I love it. And it went well.
It did go well. Your hair looks fantastic. Ben, what went well for you? Yesterday or Saturday?
Saturday. Let's see.
What went well?
Saturday.
Can
Saturday,
remember
I had
that?
The chance to get together with some family. Hmm. And that was very, very nice. I saw some extended family that I don't get to see very often. Hmm. And that was a pleasure. So
positive emotion. You
just
pleasure
and relationships as well, I'd say.
Fantastic.
Just because I got the chance to be with and interact with, you know, some people that I don't get to see that often that are special to me. So
fantastic. See, when you ask people what's difficult, people have an answer right away.
Yeah.
What went well really makes you pause. So we want to give you this tool. What went well? You can ask your partner, you know, when they're struggling, you know, and they just, you know, in a rut. What's going well?
Yeah, imagine like the next time you meet up with somebody, that the first question you have for them is like,
since I last saw you.
Since I last saw you, what was like something really great that happened for you? A totally different way to start instead of how are you?
Right, which really doesn't say anything.
You know,
how
or
are
what's
you?
Going on. It's like, tell me something I want to celebrate something with you. Tell me something we can celebrate
what's
together.
What's new?
What can we toast?
What's new doesn't work either, right?
Yeah,
it doesn't work. Like,
what went well for
since
you?
Since I last saw you.
It's a great way to start.
We're
going to
change this city.
We have to.
Right, Ben?
We have to.
We need to change, you know, our greetings for each other.
Yeah.
What has been going well in your life?
Right?
You know, so.
It's so, you know, and it does sort of call forth like, there can be some shyness around like sharing what's been going well for you.
Hmm.
We started to talk about this a little in our pre-production. It's like if you rise above that, you know, the muck of, you know, everything that's going bad, you can kind of stand out, and that can be a little lonely place and a little shy place and a little bit, you know, shame place. I don't know. It can be hard.
212-757-5555. If you're having trouble, keep trying. We had a little problem earlier. 212-757-5555. Are you having a positive emotion today? Did you have one yesterday?
Yeah.
What went well for you yesterday? What's going well now?
Right.
Is it refreshing to hear that question? What is going well? Give us a call, 212-757-5555. We're covering a lot. I know it's a lot. I do want, you know, people to be able to return to this archive in the future and say, that show is rooted in positive psychology. Those 2 days, they really talked about what it is, so that we can build on this going forward. 212-757-5555.
So something else you can maybe do with these words, looking at these PERMA, the positive emotion, like write down, like list your positive emotions, list your positive relationships.
Well, one I had last week.
List your...
You know, what's the most positive emotion you're having lately?
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, pleasure is positive. So, you know, if you're getting pleasure from eating.
Yeah, if you had a great meal.
You know, as, you know, a reprieve from all the other difficulties and stresses, at least I had one good meal.
Yeah.
You know, that is a positive emotion. There's a resting place there.
And what can be interesting if you start to list out some things that match up with these ideas, you might also see, wait a minute, I don't have anything in the accomplishment. I'm having a hard time feeling into what I've accomplished, or, you know.
Yes. Have I had a sense of accomplishment in the last month?
Yeah.
Where is my sense of accomplishment coming from in my life?
Mm-hmm.
Where can I get a sense of accomplishment in my life? We're adding questions, folks, and you can do this to yourself.
Yeah.
Because we want you to have a checklist. When you're not feeling well, you know, you can check off. What the experts are saying is that I need to have these five things in order to really be feeling well.
Mm.
Sometimes I have more of one than the other, but I need to be having some of them. So you can ask yourself a question. Am I in a positive relationship? Is this a positive relationship? How would I characterize the positiveness of this relationship?
That's a good question. A lot
of people can quickly say what's going wrong in my relationship, what's not being filled, what's not happening.
Yeah.
But not so many will have an answer as what's going well there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Same thing about your workplace.
Mm-hmm.
You might be like, hey, I hate where I work, but you're still there. There might be something that you're getting from it that's positive. Maybe you feel a sense of accomplishment, even if the atmosphere maybe isn't so nice.
Indeed.
Or your boss
right.
isn't so nice.
You bring up another idea in positive psychology, which is to scan the environment for the positive.
Mm.
We're naturally inclined, as I just read to you, we're naturally inclined to notice the negative, but scan the environment for what's positive. What could work? What can I use here?
Mm.
What is going to give me a sense of ecology? We have Eric on the line.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Eric.
Good.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Did you write them down? Did you write down PERMA?
I'm sorry, I didn't. I'm running around my son over here in the house.
Like, you get a pass. You get a pass because you have a son there.
Yeah.
What's going right for you?
So basically, you know, when I get into that state of like things can't go any better, like they just get worse, they're not getting any better. You always have snafus during the day.
Mm.
I write calligraphy, I do meditation, all that fun stuff, and I just go for my calligraphy pen, my paintbrush for calligraphy, Chinese calligraphy, and just do the thing.
Wow.
And do you get into the flow with that? Do you lose yourself?
You know, it's that I take everything, because you want to make those lines straight, you want to make the right curve, put the right characteristic within each specific movement. That's what calligraphy does, just like artwork, you know, painting, oil painting, regular drawing, and whatever.
Gotcha.
And what happens is that your emotion, your state of mind comes on that paper. It manifests on that thing. It's like that canvas of life, right? So it takes that, and then when you see the terribly looking word that you've written, that's my mind right there. And so, you know what? Let me make this line a little better. So you let it dry up, or you throw it out, and you do it again. And you keep refining, and over a few moments, you start realizing that that emotion or that state of mind, it doesn't wither away. It refines. You could say, like, just say transforms.
Mm.
But, you know, we use that word so much, and it gets overused. But
yeah, sure.
You could say dissipates, but really it's not leaving. It's just taking on a different form of itself, saying, hey, I was this volcano before, and now I'm quiet. Like,
right.
I'm still this possibility, potential for blowing up, but I don't have that in me at this moment.
But it's still
the shape, you know? And just small things can help that, too.
Right on. Thank you for illustrating. This is a perfect illustration of flow and accomplishment, right? I mean, you can walk away from one of these things and feel like, wow, you know, I got to see my mind. It's right there on the canvas.
Yeah, instead of punching a wall and seeing your mind in a hole in the wall,
right?
You do something, right? Or like the aftermath of anger and violence and hitting each other, whatever. Some people just go that route
because
they just need a venue, a soapbox to say, hey, this is what I'm going through.
Yes, of course. And often it's from the negative place.
Right. So why not do it where you can put the negative out there, but then that negative, you can keep reshaping it to something you enjoy.
Beautiful.
Like manipulating that negativity to be like, hey, it's not really negative at all. It's just what I saw it as, what I associated it to be.
Perfect illustration, John.
Beautiful.
Eric.
Thanks for giving us
a call again today.
Guys.
We'll be in touch.
Thanks a lot. Peace.
Bye-bye. We have John on the line. Okay, I'm sorry. We're not. But he illustrates this really. And you got to give him credit. I mean, to have a child running around and still need, feel the need to have activities that you yourself – I need to get out of myself. I need to get into flow with something. I have a child, yes, but I also need to express myself.
Yeah, and like find a way to just bring myself into sort of coherence again.
Yeah.
It sounds like he just through that he really brought about a sense of coherence.
Now we have John on the line. John, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you guys?
Good.
Hi, John.
Thanks for calling.
Good, my pleasure. Well, I listen with great interest to your broadcast, and if I may illustrate a point through a very short story.
Go ahead.
For a number of years, I worked out at a particular gym that, won't name it, but was, had to do with boxing. And the locker room was literally the most disgusting thing you've ever seen. There was a
straight out of Rocky
fellow. Yeah, there was a diminutive fellow who used to work there, and he would clean and tidy up and what have you, and probably very few people paid him any mind. And I remember one day walking into the locker room, and this fellow was in there, and he was mopping this slop and garbage and filth, and he was whistling. And he had a smile on his face, and I have to tell you that it so knocked me for a loop, because outward appearances, this guy probably had very little, and I've been blessed with so much in my life. And I realized two things then and there. One, which I was happy that, A, I was able to see in him that he was so far up the evolutionary ladder from myself, and, B, I was miserable inside despite my achievements, despite my notoriety. I'm in the or I was in the entertainment industry, and I've succeeded and you know, done very, very well. And yet I wonder, how can certain people, and going back to what you were just speaking of, or to that, how is it that certain people seem to just be there when others outwardly would seem to have everything, and inside, whether they've achieved, they're accomplished, or, and I've raised a, helped raise a beautiful family with wonderful daughters that are kind and respectful and all of that stuff, and yet I envy that guy with everything that I am.
Is he still around? You should go ask him. I mean, I could give you a short answer is acceptance on one level. You know, but if he's around, he's got a secret, you know, and wouldn't it be great. Wouldn't it be great to hear his secret?
That's a great question. Beautiful story.
John, I loved your story. We are taking our musical break, so we appreciate you giving us a call. Keep calling us, okay?
Will do. Thank you, guys,
thank you,
for what you do.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. 212-757-5555 is the number to call. We're going to take a short musical break, and we'll be back shortly after this with more of your calls. 212-757-5555. Be right back.
Well, if you want to sing out, sing out. And if you want to be free, be free. 'Cause there's a million things to be, you know that there are. And if you want to live high, live high. And if you want to live low, live low. 'Cause there's a million ways to go, you know that there are. You can do what you want, the opportunity's on. And if you find a new way, you can do it today. You can make it all true, and you can make it undo. You see, ah, it's easy. Ah, you only need to know. Well, if you want to say yes, say yes. And if you want to say no, say no. 'Cause there's a million ways to go, you know that there are. And if you want to be me, be me. And if you want to be you, be you. 'Cause there's a million things to do, you know that there are. You can do what you want, the opportunity's on. And if you find a new way, you can do it today. You can make it all true, and you can make it undo. You see, ah, it's easy. Ah, you only need to know. Well, if you want to sing out, sing out. And if you want to be free, be free. 'Cause there's a million things to be. You know that there are, 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 you know that there are.
Hey, Cat Stevens, a.k.a. Yusuf Islam, here on 99.5 FM, WBAI, New York. And you're listening to The Positive Mind. Just a quick appeal to all of our friends out there. Help us reduce the length and the frequency of our fun drives. We don't like doing fun drives any more than you like listening to them. And you can help us eliminate them and shorten them by becoming a BAI buddy today. It's very easy to do. It's $10 a month tax-deductible contribution. When you think about what $10 a month comes out to, you know, we're talking about 30 cents a day.
Yeah.
No, that's not
they're
right.
Probably,
that's not right, is it?
Well, 10 bucks a month is...
My math
is
off.
I was going to do it. So you go ahead and
keep
talking.
It's a dollar. It's 30 cents a day. Yeah. 33 cents a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we're just asking because we would like to continue to bring you programming instead of fun driving. And the more people we can get to participate in a BAI Buddy program, the fewer and less frequent and less... And shorter fun drives we'd be able to put together and bring you more content. So, again, go to give2wbai.org or go to wbai.org. You can become a BAI buddy. Let them know The Positive Mind sent you. And help us out. Help us reduce those fun drives that, you know, nobody gets excited about. And we love taking your calls and interacting with you.
Yeah,
like
we
want
to hear what the people are saying rather than what we're saying. And fun driving cuts into hearing what people are saying. We want to engage our audience as much as we can, and fun driving sometimes cuts that off. The fun driving is necessary, but imagine what it would be like if we had 6 months WBAI with no fun drive.
Like straight up programming. We want to bring in some really great guests.
We're bringing in great guests. But
it's going to be an amazing year.
We could do that without doing it at the fun drive.
Yeah.
I'd love our guests to interact with the public. And sometimes when we're fun driving, we can't do that.
Right.
So in the name of The Positive Mind, please go to WBAI.org and become a buddy. Do it once a year. All we're asking, once a year, it'll go towards the step of reducing fun drives and giving
you
more content and more connection
the whole year.
With people.
Imagine. And today, this is exciting for us to get to interact with you on this level. We asked you to write down five letters at the beginning of the show, P, E, R, M, and A. And they stand for positive emotions, engagement, relationships, meaning, and accomplishments, which are what we consider to be the main tenets of positive psychology. And we're taking your calls on one or more of these topics at 212-757-5555. Which one of these has been a struggle for you? Or which one of these is naturally comes easy to you?
And or which one do you see the most value in for yourself? Mm. Because, you know, you want to go to where your strengths are. But I did want to say something about John. John, we're sorry we couldn't spend more time with you. Because he asked a big question, which has a long, long, long answer. I wanted to connect it to yesterday's caller, James, who called yesterday, John, who called yesterday and talked about four out of his five siblings struggle with panic attacks.
Yeah.
So why can a man who's really succeeded, raised a family, done so well in life and still not feel well, whereas a man who's mopping a floor in a locker room can be the happiest person in the world? A lot of it has history to it. There's a history to it. What are the expectations that – you know, this big success has put on himself, and what is the expectations the man who's mopping the floor put on himself?
Family demands.
Yeah,
or,
what is his family history?
Parents, or it's pretty incredible. It just different people at different stages or places in the hierarchy of life, whatever, have different expectations, and sometimes. You know, it's just too much. It's like not getting under, and like you said, accepting that this is, you know, who you are and what you're doing, instead of, you know, going like, you know, I should be this, I should be that, I should be that, even though where you are is absolutely wonderful too.
Right.
It can be hard to sort of sit into that and feel pleasure.
Yeah.
and feel some of these positive emotions about it.
You know, I mentioned Marty Seligman's book Flourish, but he also uses the word dysphoria. Mm-hmm. And the more we achieve, the more dysphoric we become, the more we want more achievement and more achievement and more achievement. If you set your sights low, and I don't need to achieve at all. I mean, achievement's great if, you know, it's your orientation, if it's something you yourself need or want to do. But if you're forcing yourself always to achieve, you're going to suffer a heavy load of dysphoria. You can look that word up, but generally it's an inner restlessness, an inner anxiety over the state of my life.
Right.
And Marty Seligman says, evolution stamped dysphoria pretty indelibly into the psyche of the human species. Mm. Modern man's battle is dysphoria versus constructive thinking.
That's quite
so
a
get
phrase.
Out of my restlessness and anxiety and think constructively. We have an we don't have okay, okay. We're gonna get okay.
Nope.
So dysphoria, John, is one of the answers to your question. Also, I would ask about your family history, and what your expectations have been and what they are going forward. And if you're losing yourself in an activity yourself, I mean, this gentleman who's mopping a floor, he might be in total flow.
Yeah. Just totally enjoying the mopping the floor.
Yeah.
Doing what he's doing.
You know.
Yeah. If there's something that John does that, you know, that you feel, I'm just totally in flow with this. If you're playing an instrument or driving your car or hanging with your kids, you know, you can be totally engaged.
Can you lose yourself in those things? It sounds like you can. It sounds like John can for sure. So again, you can ask yourself these questions, my checklist. If I ask that man who's mopping the floor, are you engaged? Or do you have this positive emotion as you're whistling? Do you have a good relationship at home? Are you going home to a good relationship? Do you have meaning in your life?
Yeah.
And do you get a sense of accomplishment when you've cleaned this locker room? I mean, I know my sense of accomplishment often comes from completing a task where you see the environment is totally different because I made it different.
Yeah, and do you pause and let yourself really feel that? I think that also might be something that we miss, is that we don't sit down and take note of these things. Like, they're there, but we don't bring them to our consciousness and really let ourselves embody it and feel that.
Anne is on the phone.
Yeah, we're taking your calls, 212-757-5555. Anne, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, thanks for calling in.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for being there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I struggle most with relationships. And I'm finding out, I'm in my 70s, and I'm finding out that I didn't think I had that much because I never let anyone got really that close to me. I'm a more or less studious person. Like to spend time, a lot of time thinking.
Mm.
And so I decided to, then there was someone came into my life that I allowed in my life, but was a little frightened because I didn't, I guess similarities, if I'm really, I like to study. I don't mind socializing, but I'm really like to think a lot. And in that relationship, to make it short, I began to discover a lot of things that I needed to really work on. And I'm grateful for the person to help to work on those. It's not easy. It's only been like 5 years.
Yeah.
But I'm saying I've been living most of my life alone. I've been contented because I always find things to do in my life. But as far as being in a relationship, I find it was very, very difficult because I did not really know how to, I guess, really, I can feel for another person, but on the outside, but say on the inside, the person would relate to me and say, well, it's about being close in a way, and you don't feel like you let anyone into you.
Yeah,
So it's very interesting, and I'm just grateful that I'm allowing myself at this age to. I know it's a continuous growth to a lot of it. And
amazing that you're doing this at this stage of your life. Good for you.
It was very difficult, I tell you.
I believe you.
I think, and I must say, I was a listener of Artmon for many, many, many years.
Yeah.
I I practiced everything what he said, took the notes down, recordings.
Sure.
And I really, he's one of my teachers that I've had to help me improve my life.
Yeah.
And I cherish that. Thanks for being there to carry on.
And I'm curious, what was like maybe a specific thing that you feel like you did that was challenging for you, you know, in like the relationship aspect you're talking about?
That I did? Or the
That you did, that you've done, that you're proud of.
Begin to introspect, check on myself, check on really why is it difficult for you not to see what the person is trying to tell you.
Right.
Wow.
Now, I think that was a very difficult thing for me because I'm the person, because the person has not taken a lot of educational courses like psychology and all that. I'm saying this person is not mentally perceptive to see a lot of understand the depths of science of psychology.
Mm-hmm.
But he was just saying,
her heart understood much more than my heart, because her heart was genuine. It was truthful in what she was trying. And I'm saying, how come I'm missing out on that? How come I don't perceive that part of her?
Beautiful. Actually,
that's really wonderful. She inspired you.
Yeah, you know, everybody doesn't have to have the same level of education for you to learn something from them.
Exactly. Yeah. The battle has eased off a little, a strong battle where it even came to this relationship would end. I can't deal with you.
Sure.
You're very old and you don't know how difficult you are to be with.
No.
So it was a storm. It was really a storm. And so I began to say, sit back, listen, and okay, do what you need to do, but also don't expect that person to come on where you are.
Right.
Indeed. You can only do what you can do, and if you fall off the saddle and you get back on the saddle and you learn from the next person. I'm going to ask you an Armand question, though, okay?
Okay.
Do you have any sisters?
Oh, yes. I have three sisters. Okay, go ahead. You want to ask me?
Well, you know, No, there's plenty I'd want to ask you, but, you know, I just was curious. Often people who kind of stay back and focus on books and education and psychology and other things felt crowded out growing up. You know, they felt like intruded upon. So,
If you allow me, I would say I'm like 8 years older than the siblings that were under me.
Okay,
and I took an early responsibility to help my mother to raise them because it was very difficult.
Okay.
But I was a curious child, so I don't think I felt as crowded. If anything, I felt the need the space to think.
Yeah.
And that was a household, but I always had in that mind, I grew up in Florida, I like to think about things, how they come together. So I think that was part of me growing up.
Okay.
And I was determined not to let anybody, force me out of doing that. You know, that was always that part that I'm going to set aside to say.
That was your space.
Indeed.
Yeah, that's my That was my space.
So,
and,
so were you the oldest?
I was the oldest girl, yes.
There you go.
Yes.
And it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for showing our audience, you know, that it's never too late.
Yeah.
And it's
never
too late. It's never too late. Do it until you leave.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
Bye.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, she, everybody doesn't have to be on your wavelength. This two callers. Now, John was basically saying, I witnessed this guy who was in a humble situation, and I learned from him. And I saw, you know, my own sort of impoverished condition, and I learned from this guy. And I'm happy that I was able to see it.
Right,
and
right.
And so Anne is saying, you know, here I'm on a, you know, created my personality the way I did, and this person I've let into my life, and you know, they maybe don't speak the same language or elegantly or as well as I do, but I have a lot to learn from them. So that's a positive relationship. Positive relationship. So what I would add to Anne and others listening is, when relationships go sour, you want to up the positivity. You need to bring it to the partner. Why are we not positive with each other anymore? And how can we up the positivity? Sometimes it's not words, it's actions, like making coffee for somebody. You can do these actions that can up the positivity without necessarily talking it out.
It can throw some people off too if you have sort of a contentious relationship, and that all of a sudden you decide to make a shift, and you, instead of saying, you know, coming in and first seeing that person, the first thing you say is, wow, you look really great today. I love that dress you're wearing, or look at those shoes, or, you know, whatever it is, start with something positive and see what happens in that relationship. Just give it a try. It can be really interesting to just sort of shift the tables.
212-757-5555. But we're not talking about being Pollyanna, you know. There are times when you're not in the mood, right, to up your mood, so to speak, you know, or to be positive. You're allowed to not be positive all the time. But I agree, you know, you can make a conscious shift. I'm going to look out. I'm going to scan for how I can change my mood here.
Potentially change a relationship.
Up my positivity. Yeah. How can I get a positive emotion out of the next activity I'm in? Yeah. How can I feel engaged in the next activity I'm in?
Maybe it's a smile at the person at the cash register when you're checking out, getting your coffee.
Yeah. You know,
just to get a nice smile and a thank you.
Yeah, 212-757-5555. I want to talk a little bit about strengths, Ben. You know, we didn't get to a lot of them, but one of the principles of positive psychology is that you emphasize and you use your strengths.
Yeah.
That, you know, to be engaged, when we say the second part of this, positive engagement, you want to be engaged with your strengths, not your weaknesses. To up your positive psychology, your positive mind, you want to take strengths that you have and apply them. If your strengths are not getting access, then subtly your spirit and your mood and your mind is brought down. So it's not easy to know your own strengths. It's nice to ask somebody, like, what do you think are my two best strengths? I'll try it with you. Go ahead, Nassima. What are my two best strengths?
Your best strengths, well, your sparky intelligence.
My sparky intelligence? I would never
very
use that.
Fiery kind of sparky intelligence. And your voice.
My voice.
Your voice is really wonderful.
Thank you. Okay. See, I think your two greatest strengths is your serenity and your soothing quality.
I would add a diligence to that. I think Nassima's a very diligent person.
Thank you.
And let's give Ben a couple. You give Ben one, I'll give one.
Well, Ben's got a real solidity. Like, he perseveres. He's here.
He perseveres.
He gets through.
Yeah.
And he does a great job.
I love the seeker in Ben.
Yeah.
Ben is a seeker. We have, is she ready? Yeah, let's bring her up. Lena, we miss you. How are you?
I am good. How are you, Kevin? How is everybody doing
good.
Today?
We're
Hi,
doing
Lena.
Great. You're going to close us out today, so give us all the positivity you have.
I will, and I'm going to try to be as concise with a little technique that I happen to love. I love that I happen to come in just as I heard you saying the word seeker, that calling someone a seeker.
Yes, indeed.
This has to do with trusting intuition and trusting the universe to guide you in a positive way, because that really is the natural flow of things. And a great little technique and a little trick that I use when I'm feeling a little bit down about anything is I will pick up a volume of any book that happens to be handy. It could be a biography, it could be a book of poetry, it could be a book of song lyrics, it could be any book that happens to be handy. I will open to a random page and just grab a paragraph or two or a page and begin reading. And the first thing that this has never failed me, by the way. The first thing that I begin to read has to do with my situation, has to do with bringing me inner peace, and it will be synchronized to me spiritually in a way that will uplift me and be like somehow exactly what I needed.
sounds like a wonderful way to sort of confirm connection with your environment, with the universe, that things are going right. You know, it's like, it's just like a way of sort of reaching out for an answer and getting it.
Absolutely, and you're a lovely woman. I didn't get your name.
Nasima. We've met.
Oh my God,
a long time ago.
Nasima.
No wonder you're so lovely.
Isn't that a soothing voice that she
it's
has?
Me.
Of course. Well, here's the story, and the same can be said not just not with a book of poetry or whatever, but I've said this in the past too. A lot of times you'll turn on the radio, and the song will be exactly a message that you need to hear. The whole trick is tuning in and being open to receiving the universe's message to you, because they're all around us. And they're as easy as a click on the radio or opening up a book, really.
Yeah. A real gift, Lena. That's a great lesson for all of us to learn.
It's nice to hear you guys again. I haven't
You're sounding great, Lena.
You too.
Yeah, a lot of rehab, but things are moving along. I'm like really, I've got a lot on my plate, but things are going well, and I got a great team over here, as you know.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Spring is here. Be well. Say hi to Chris.
Much love.
Bye-bye. So, yeah.
She brings up
It's not on the list of strengths that we're posting on our website, and we're putting them up today, and we're going to get returned to Positive Psychology next Wednesday. Tuesday we're having Paige Bellenbaum. But if you go to thepositivemindcenter.com, you can look at the 24 strengths that Positive Psychology uses to up your engagement in life. How can I get into flow? I have these strengths. People tell me I have them. Where can I use them?
And that might inspire you to sort of be like, oh, wow, I've got that strength, or I've got that one, because it can be hard to come up with the words. So that list will be very helpful for you. PositiveMindCenter.com. Go to the radio show tab. You'll find them there.
Send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org. We're here Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 1 p.m. right here on 99.5 FM WBAI. And find us on the iTunes podcast. It's free. Just search for Positive Mind on the iTunes store. Get free updates delivered straight to your computer weekly. Thanks again for listening and for calling. Again, this has been The Positive Mind. We'll see you next Tuesday at 1 p.m.